Hey, so glad you're here because I have another ignited entrepreneur on the show today to share what they did to ignite their business and their life. This is Jess Coulthard, your host. And as always, you're invited to listen in to another conversation about business, entrepreneurship, and why following your passion is the best way to ignite your life. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Louise Hopkin. She is an organizing coach and in-house organizer from the company The Space Reclaimers. Louise, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. It's really nice to share my story, and I love talking about organizing and decluttering.
Awesome. And we were just saying before we started recording that, you know, we've all got something that we like to hang on to a little bit more than maybe we should. So I'm excited to hear about how you help people. And, you know, maybe I'll get some insight even into how you can help me get rid of some of my clutter. So before we get too into all of that good stuff, though, I would really love for you to tell everybody more about who you are and what you do.
For sure, thanks. So I am originally from New Zealand and I grew up in a family of six kids, so six brothers and sisters. So a fairly large family. And, you know, we led the simple life, really. We did a lot of camping and just really enjoyed family life and spending time together. So kind of fast forward, I left New Zealand at a really young age and traveled the world. So for me, I was really about experiences and creating that exciting time in life. And that's really what was important to me. So I did that. And then again, fast forward, I moved to Calgary with my husband, who's actually from Australia. And I started settling down. We had my son. And I kind of realized that I really needed to get my stuff together. And it was like I had no family here. We're by ourselves. I'm working full time. He's working full time. So it's like, wow, this is really overwhelming. The kids come with so much stuff. And right? That's just things. Yeah. And I tried to keep it to a minimum too. But just that we had two dogs and it was like, this is kind of crazy. So what I really got into I drove my husband crazy actually, because every time I'd like, you know what, we need to change this routine. It's not working. So I would come up with a new idea. Let's change our drop-off time. And I was always tweaking it because I felt like it just could be better. And here's a really interesting fact though. It took me a while to admit to people, but I'm actually not a naturally organized person. So
okay. I know,
scary, right? But the cool thing about that is I know how to help people with their organizing and how to really make it work for them. So I was kind of, you know, when I was younger, that slob that you saw, like that had clothes all over the floor and I really didn't care. And so it was interesting. So now I've kind of done a 360 and it's really important to me now. And what I find is that I want to help people and myself realize that there's so much more to life than stuff. You know, there's so much out there, the experiences, the connections when there's, you know, when we can again. And then what happened was I was working at my corporate job and I was really bored, frustrated, and I started looking for a business and I came across home organizing and I was like, is that a thing? And so, right, it was like, huh, okay. I looked into it and I spoke to the owner of the business and I'm like, you know what? I'm not really sure why, but I'm so drawn to this. And I didn't buy her business because me being me, I was like, I can do this myself. I want to do it my way, have my brand on it. So I did. So over 5 years ago, I started the Space Reclaimers. And what happened was even 5 years ago, I really wanted to get into coaching of organizing and decluttering because I felt there was something way more important and there's something really deep down into why we clutter. So sorry, I know this story is taking a long time.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it.
And so what I did was, you know, over those 5 years, I was like, you know what? I'm listening to clients. I'm researching. I'm studying. I'm understanding where this is all coming from. So I want to take a new twist on it. And yeah. And so that's how I come into the coaching part of it. So I guess that's how the story was born of the Space Reclaimers. And, you know, going on 5 years, it's still my passion and still super excited about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you admit that you were not a particularly organized person to begin with. So, you know, for somebody like me, it's like, I would rather hire you knowing that it's not just your natural skill, that you actually had to overcome something as well to get good at it, right?
And I love that, because you know what? It took me a really, really long time to admit that, because I'm like, who wants to know that an organizer is not naturally organized? And then it clicked to me. It's like, I'm not, you know what? My husband is way more organized than me. He's like really organized. It's like over the top. So I have a happy balance, right?
Nice. You saw how things could be, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I love also that, you know, you said that you used to be sloppy, but now it's important. So I'm just curious, like, and then I'm guessing that's part of what you teach, but so how do you go from not having something be important to now it is important?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because it kind of hit me, because when I had Liam, my son, working full time, I was getting really frustrated. You know, I was just like, why do I feel like I don't have any me time? I don't have any really relaxed or downtime. So to me, it was like, there's got to be something here that has to change, because I guess I had lived quite a carefree life, being traveling for so long. And, you know, it was really became evident to me that I needed to change something. So it was, I wasn't happy. I guess that's basically it in a nutshell, you know, and like, I know so many of my clients, I was feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, kind of stuck in a rut. Yeah. And then for me, I'm that type of person that kind of goes, okay, no, something has to change and I'm going to do it. So yeah, that's kind of the point I got to, I guess, and realize this needs to change.
Yeah, no. And that's great too, that, you know, you kind of did that exploration and took the time to figure out like what's going on and now I need to change. I mean, and then willing to make those changes. Cause a lot of times people get stuck in that, like you can get stuck in your rut, but then trying to make the change is a place where you can get stuck too, not knowing how, or even fighting that resistance against it. Right.
Yes. And you know, I know nobody can see me, but I was shaking my head then. Yes. When you were saying that, because that's what really happens to a lot of us, is that we just don't know how to get out of it. And we get really, we kind of feel guilty, right? We start thinking there's something wrong with us. Why can't I get organized? I used to be organized before I had kids. That's what a lot of people I hear say as well. And so that's where I really help get them past that point. And it's like, see the light at the end of the tunnel, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my personal selfish question would be, how do I just make it so that doing my dishes every single day before I go to bed is important?
Oh, yes. I love that. You know what? And I'm really a lot about simplicity too. And the way I say it is that, do it a few times, see how you feel. Because what I have found is that a lot of clients, they'll text me and they'll go, oh my gosh, Louise, I woke up in the morning, I feel great. I don't have a sink full of dirty dishes. I don't have, you know, this mess everywhere. And I wake up feeling inspired. And so, you know, when you're really, really tired, and I know that when you had a busy day, you really have to think of the end goal and just push that little bit and say, you know what, it's going to take me 10, 15 minutes, but what am I going to get out of that at the end? So hopefully
that. I really like that, because yeah, like when I do push myself to do it, I do. I feel really good about it and I like how it looks.
Yes. Right. And pushing yourself is the thing, because then it gets easier and easier. Then it just becomes such a habit and a routine that you do it all the time without even thinking, and it doesn't feel like you're pushing, and then you can add something else into that routine. So it's that doing one habit at a time is really, really big, like layering it. But yeah, just feeling that how good it feels will be your inspiration.
Yeah, I like that. I can definitely use that. That was good. Thank you. Like, you're welcome. I joke with my guests that, you know, I mean, it's my show and I always make sure I get something out of it.
Well, totally, right? I don't blame you.
Yeah. So I understand that you have a three-step clutter-free home method. Please share that. I need that.
You need, excellent. Yes. No, it's something I've put together, like I said, over the past 5 years, kind of working through it. So the step one is to, I call it discover. So that's the first stepping stone. So discovery is probably the toughest part of it and really getting your head around it. And what I mean by discover is find out your, I created an acronym. So it's REASON. So the six letters, it stands for, I don't know if we have, but retail therapy, emotion, assigned time, sentimental, overwhelm, and can't say no. So what I do is that I get people to really think about and understand the root cause of why they're collecting clutter. Because you think about this scenario, right? You're having this, you know, great burst and you're decluttering and you're like, this is great. And then a month later, it's all back again. And you're like, why? Why does this keep coming back? Because you think that doing it once is going to fix the problem. But if you're really realistic about it, life is full of clutter. It's constant, whether you have kids or not. But with kids, it comes, you know, with so much stuff and it's going to keep coming. So that's why I really want people to discover, are you emotionally attached to your stuff or does emotion cause you to go shopping? You know, like, do you get frustrated with life or sad? So you turn to shopping. And it's really, really easy right now with online shopping too, right? So yeah. So people can jump on and we're like, okay, I'm just going to shop, makes me feel better. They get a high for or adrenaline rush for 5 minutes. And then it's like, oh, why did I do that? I don't have anywhere to put it or I don't really need it. So it gets shoved away. So that's why it's super important to discover that reason, really go into that depth. And then the step two is the release. So now we're going to declutter, right? And how I help people do that. And the second step is to create habits, rules and guidelines. So with rules and guidelines, I don't know if you've heard, like some of them I have from the minimalists, you know, the rule 20-20. I don't know if you've heard of that one or not.
No.
Nope. So the 20-20 rule is if it costs less than $20 and you don't have to drive more than 20, well, they say miles, Ks for it, then you can purge it or declutter it. So you know those times when you're like, well, maybe I'll need it one day and you hum and haw about it. So it goes from one end of the house to the other and you're like, because I can't make a decision on it, right? So if you try and say, I have that rule, okay, great. That fits that. So I'm going to declutter it. Another great rule is if you haven't worn it, so the closet is another really good one. If you haven't worn it in at least, we can be generous, say 6 to 8 months, then it's time to declutter it. The other one with the closet, you know, that really like I might fit back into it one day.
No, okay. I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
Well, lucky you. Right. But so we all have that. So it's like one day I might fit into it. But what that's doing and you don't realize is it's causing you a lot of emotion anxiety because what if you can't? What if, you know, there's just things change in your life and you're not able to. So what I say is create a guideline and say, you know what, if I can't fit into it, that's fine. Let's declutter it. And if I can get back to that size or something happens, treat yourself with something new because maybe it's out of fashion. You know what I mean? It's just changing that thinking and disconnecting the real emotion attached to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I actually heard a really interesting tip. I can't remember where I got it from, but they say that you should turn your clothes in the closet so the hangers are a different way. And if and if you haven't turned the hanger back around, means you haven't worn it, which means after 6 months or whatever, if that hanger is still backwards, then you can get rid of it.
Yes. Yeah, that is a really cool tip, actually, because it's really visual then, right? And another one you can do is if you've tried on things and it doesn't spark joy anymore, have a donation box in your closet and then pop it in the box. And then just kind of keep collecting and then you can take it away. So it doesn't go back on the hanger and you go, maybe I'll wear it again one day. You know what I mean? So you're making that decision really quick. So sometimes that helps a lot.
that sounds good. And like you said, having the box right there, so it's not like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll grab this later when I'm going to the garage or whatever. It's like, nope, the bin's right there. It's going in, drop it now.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping it simple. Again, simplicity is key when it comes to organizing. I feel like people really, really get so caught up in, anyway, we can talk about that later. But so the next step in that, so now you've decluttered, you've made all this really great progress. So the third step is to maintain it. Again, another really important one, because what if you don't keep up with it? You know, you just kind of slide, life happens, something, you know, could get in the way, you have family over or someone gets sick or something like that, right? So it starts to slide. So you need to have habits and routines to maintain it. And that's what we were kind of talking about, Jessica, with doing the dishes at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's a really simple thing, but if you let that keep piling up, then it causes you to be way behind on everything. Another routine could be your laundry. I know that's another one a lot of us love as well and struggle with. So keep your routine with your laundry, pick certain days that you do it. And then it makes it really simple and it makes it automatic and you don't have to think and struggle with it so much. So that's a three-step method, how I help people become clutter-free. But we're not looking at just for now, we're looking for permanently, right? We're looking for long-term success in that area. So that's why I find the clutter-free method is, I have a lot of people that struggle at first, and I'm always very honest about it. It's a tough journey, but so worth it in the end.
Yeah. And especially like you said earlier, if people do have an emotional attachment to things, like I have a friend who has a lot of stuff because every one of the pieces that he has, there's a memory there. Right. Mm-hmm. So that I could see being a difficult one for people to, go to step two on is release. Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah. So for the emotions, what it is, you know, the more you touch it, it's actually, it's called kind of churning. So you touch an item, like in the organizing world, that's what we call it. You touch it, you get attached to it again, and you get attached to it again. The best way to do it is to do it really quick and high level, which sounds really easier, but you need to make that first step. So what I mean by that is go through something that you're really struggling with and put it into, say if it's a category, you can put it into a box of definitely happy to let go, maybe, and keep. And what happens is it's like you will struggle with it. You will kind of have all these emotions come up. And you're wondering, you know, why am I doing this? And you struggle with it. But then you walk away and the next day you come back and it gets easier each time. I know that sounds, but I've had clients who have done it this way and they've had such great success. And before they're actually like, I didn't think I could really release my emotional attachment to things. But we talk about the end goal and why are they needing to release and what is the reason why they're doing it. So they get great success from that.
Right.
So
focusing more on the end result and the feeling that you're going to get from that, and then being able to release in the moment to accomplish that other feeling that you're really wanting.
That's right. And again, it's a process, and just understanding that the emotion is not in the stuff. It's in you. The memory is definitely in you and you'll always remember. And another way to help people through that too is, you know, you've probably heard take a photo, or if it's like a blanket or something like that, you can take a little snippet of it and keep it in a little container. There's also sentimental items. What I do is you can put a limit to it. So if you have a collection that's taking up, you know, boxes and boxes, get to the point where, okay, I'm allowed one box, and just kind of narrow it down to that. So limiting it. So again, it's kind of creating those rules and guidelines that really help as well. So yeah, I find that really works with a lot of clients as well.
Wonderful. So when you talk about getting to the root cause of some of the clutter or why we hang on to things, what kind of tips do you have, or what strategies do you have for helping people do that deep dive?
Yeah, so it's actually really neat. I have a quiz that I actually have people do, and they get to answer questions. So sometimes it's really spontaneous when I say the six reasons and people are like, ooh, and I can see them nodding their heads and they're like, retail therapy, that is so me. And then they can say overwhelmed. So what I have people do is pick the top two that really stand out to them. And then just ask yourself the questions of, when I look at this room, so I get them to focus on one area, because there's no point doing, you know, a lot because it's too overwhelming. So one area, when you close your eyes, how do you feel about that? Does it just cause you anxiety and stress? And then you want to walk away. So that is definitely your overwhelm. And then when it's sentimental, that's one we haven't talked about as well. So when it's sentimental, you know, I'm talking about those items, the china that's been handed down from generation to generation, and you feel really guilty because it has been handed down from generation to generation. And you're like, oh, but I can't be the one that ends the cycle, right? I feel guilty and you feel bad. Start talking to family members. Start saying, you know what? I don't actually have space for this. It's causing me anxiety. And I find a lot of it is communication and actually talking about it. And people, family members, are really understanding most of the time. You know, most of the time I say that. I know there are some that struggle. But really, just really seeing that acronym and finding and seeing those reasons, I find it, as I said, take the top two and then work on those ones first. And then you can go back and work on the next ones.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's funny you say that about the sentimental stuff. I'm sitting here staring at my hope chest that I know inside has my grandmother's spoon collection.
Right?
Yes. I found a place for it. It's out of sight. But yeah, it's like, do I need to keep that? Does anybody care? Like, I just, it was given to me for some reason, and now it's kind of stuck with me, right?
Yeah. And that's another thought, right? What are my kids going to do with that? So I don't know if you've heard of the Swedish death cleaning method.
No.
No. So it's a really great book, actually. It's pretty, it's really great though, because it's like, you know what are my kids going to do with this stuff? And it really talks about how to deal with that. So that's another really great way to think of it too, actually, is who wants this? Exactly. Like you said, am I going to cause stress to my kids when they're, you know, mourning or something? It's like, do I want them to have to deal with this stuff? So that's another really good motivation for a lot of people as well.
Yeah. It's like getting rid of it and having to force it on somebody else is actually going to cause more of a problem than to just, you know, get rid of it.
Yeah, totally. And I know, I truly know that for some, it's easier to just ignore it. I really do know that. And I know that, but it's the benefits of actually releasing from it is so huge, and it's just massive shifts in so much areas of their life that they're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I didn't do this sooner. So I totally understand it's really hard to do, but that's what I'm here for.
No, and I think it's great. And you know what I really love is I like the step-by-step, like you're making it very easy for people so that, you know, when they do have, say, that emotional attachment or whatever, it's like, yes, okay, good. Let's work through that. And here are the steps, right? So it's not just, yeah, whatever, just deal with it. Like you really have a way of taking them through that journey, which is great.
Yeah. And that's totally the whole idea. And again, working with so many clients over the past 5 years, it was really a discovery lesson for me. And it just, you know, it's very new for me to teach in this way. So it's really coming from a lot of experience and dealing with a lot of clients and their feedback. So, and I feel like it's been, it really works, and I'm really happy with it and excited about it. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. been great.
Yeah. Awesome. So I was trolling your website. That's what I do. And, and I came across something that says that cleaning the clutter allows for more space for creativity, energy, abundance. And that just really, really resonated with me. But can you speak more to how that can, you know, just open up that space for people?
Yeah, for sure. So what I kind of get people to think about is, you know, when you walk into a hotel room, yes, you're on holiday, but also that feeling of calm, because there's only the bare necessities in that room, right? There's only the TV, the bed, and it, but it's just calming, and you feel really good when you walk in there. And you don't have this brain clutter. You don't have all this digital clutter. You don't have surrounded by so much stuff. And that's where you can start feeling free. So if you put that into your home, right, when you have less clutter, you walk home, you walk in that door, you feel so much lighter. And I've actually literally seen it working with clients in their house. I've seen the weight come off their shoulders, right? When I start organizing things and taking things away, it's like this whole, their whole body shifts, right? And they start standing up straighter because they're not feeling this weight of clutter. And, you know, sometimes people don't really realize how much it affects us. And when your brain is not going 50 miles an hour, like, I mean, a lot of us, it's hard to stop. But if you're not thinking, I need to get rid of that pile, I need to do that, I need to do this, you can focus more and you have more room for creativity. And it just opens up for really good things to come into your life. And again, another really cool thing is that you can focus on your family time a lot more, right? You don't have this in the back of your mind, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And I just think it makes you a calmer person as well, right? So,
yeah. And I'm thinking too, like you mentioned family time, if you can kind of get the whole family on board with, you know, just like making little routines and little habits that, you know, again, it's going to increase that level of comfort, and you guys are just going to enjoy each other's company more rather than being, did you put that away? Why did you leave that there? Right. So I would imagine that it would just create a more just harmonious kind of space as well.
Yes, totally. And you know, we're realistic. That's not going to always happen, but at least we want to increase that time, right? We want to make sure that you're going to have that. Your home's meant to be your sanctuary. So we want to make it that way. And we want you to walk in that door and feel calm and happy to be home, where sometimes we're not, unfortunately.
Do you have any tips for parents to get their kids on board?
Yes, I do. Actually, I like this one. I you know, I have my son who's 11 years old, and when I declutter his things without him knowing, he's like, "Mom, did you get rid of that again?" I'm like, "Yes, I did." It's taken a few years, obviously, but it's now leading by example, and he now is used to it. So what I say is, be persistent. Stick with it, because I know it's easier to give up and give in than it is to stick with it. So what I mean by that is with toys, I know toys is a really big one. So what I used to do with, you know, the little toy McDonald's toys and those kind of things, I would always, I'd always purge those. And for sure, Liam would be like, "Oh, I really wanted that." And I'm like, "No, you didn't." He would have a meltdown. He'd have a tantrum. And then it's like, okay, I'll deal with that. But then, like I said, he gets used to it. So be persistent. But also a really great tip is involve them. When I just said I did that without Liam knowing about it, that's what I learned, was I should involve him when he gets older as well. So involve them in the process, and they actually really enjoy it. So I've actually had clients, their kids will work with me and they get so excited, you know, it's super cute. And they're like, "Miss Louise, what should I do over here? And come organize my, you know, bed and stuff." And it's really cute. And they get really excited about it, because what we forget is that kids don't like too much stuff. It overwhelms them as well. So if they have toys everywhere, it's really hard for their brain to focus on things, right? You know, they go from toy to toy to toy. And we have less, and then it's those toys will get more use, and they won't have to make so many decisions as well.
No, that makes a lot of sense. It's taking me back, because my son is 24, and lives on his own now. And it just reminds me of when he was little. And my rule basically was, I don't care what you do in your room, just don't let it come out into the rest of the house. And he just did not care. Like, his room was, wow. Like, he let it get pretty bad. And then of course mom would have to step in and be like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, let's do it. And we'd spend the day and we'd, you know, haul everything out. We'd go through everything. And, but it, you know, it's interesting to see that now, and in his own home, like, it's, he keeps it clean. It's, you know, it's cute to see him doing dishes and taking the garbage out. And, you know, just for any parents out there, that, you know, it does get better.
Yeah. Exactly. It totally does. Hey, and like I said, my son's 11, so we can actually do things together, like, and start getting them to do routines as well. Make the bed, again, layer it, do one thing at a time, get them to make the bed and do kids chores that are age appropriate. It doesn't have to be over the top. Help you put the dishes away. And it's, they learn. And like you said, that's what happened with your son, right? And it's leading by example is really big for kids too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I remember there's this guy who talks about, you know, making your bed in the morning, so at least you can say you've accomplished one thing. And I love, like, I used to leave my bed a mess. My rationale was, I'm just getting back into it later, right? But for the last, well, probably the last 10 years or so, I've been religiously making my bed every morning. And I love it when I come home and I see, and I go into my bedroom to, you know, get dressed or undressed from the day, and my bed is made. It feels so good. Like, there's just really something about walking into a nice clean room.
Yes. It's inspiring, right? And it feels good. It's like that hotel room. It's just, really just calms everything. And yeah. And same as me, when I was younger, I never made my bed either.
Yeah. It, to me, it just seemed pointless.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But now I guess I see the point, right? I guess it's really about kind of just shifting the way that you see it based on how you want to feel when you, like you say, your home is your sanctuary. So, you know, why would you want to walk in from a shitty day at work to come home and just be surrounded by clutter, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's changing your awareness. I think as we get older is a lot of what it's about. And, you know, when you're younger, you don't have as much responsibility, but now we have, you know, the job, the kids. So we have so much to deal with. It's preparing you for the day ahead, like, do the dishes at the end of the night, make your bed in the morning. You really do feel productive. And yeah, I think it's those routine habits and routines that I talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. So now you said you have something called the 3 P's.
The 3 P's. Yeah. So I think that's another really big thing that people are like, why can't I get organized? Why am I holding back from decluttering? And why am I just putting it off? So the 3 P's are the procrastination, perfectionism, and productivity. So just really quickly, procrastination. So a lot of us, you know, we don't like doing something. We're going to procrastinate about it. So we'd rather walk away and just not deal with it. And it's also, I don't know what to do, where to start. So it's just kind of those 3 P's that really hold us back. And then the perfectionism, you know, a lot of us try and find that perfect organizing plan, that perfect organizing system before we actually start. And you know what? You have to make a start. You can never fail at decluttering or organizing. There's no such thing as failing, because making a start is so much better than not starting and letting it pile up. So the perfectionist, you know, they won't start, but what you do is put a system in place and then you tweak it, right? You have a basic idea and then you can tweak it to make it perfect or to make it really work for you. So it's kind of a work in progress, because if you think about it, our life changes a lot too. So sometimes those systems have to be tweaked and changed a little bit. And then with the productivity, what happens is, you know, I've had a lot of clients that are like, well, if I'm not going to do the whole thing, why would I start? So, you know, if they have a whole closet that's just cluttered and they're feeling overwhelmed with it, they're like, well, I need to pull everything out and spend hours doing it. It's like, no, you don't. You can just do, say, 10 minutes at a time, or pick one category And doing that, you will quickly work your way through it. And again, it's better that you're getting started on it than just walking away. So that was kind of something I feel like people, a lot of people can resonate with because of the three P's.
Mm-hmm. And again, I like that you have a system, right? So it's a constant reminder of, you know, why am I procrastinating? And doesn't have to be perfect. And, you know, I can just do a little bit and that's okay, right? So it's this great little reminders that you have for helping people. So I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay. So if anybody's interested, which I'm sure people are, because, you know, especially with, you know, the fact that we've all been home a lot more this last year, I would imagine that, you know, people are probably looking around their house and wanting to like make some changes and wanting to feel less clutter around them. How would somebody be able to work with you? What kind of services are you offering right now?
For sure. Yeah. So as we said, I have a coaching program, which is Your Life Real and Organized. So that's another little thing about me is that we want to work with your real life, not this Pinterest life, not this one that we think we should be doing, but who you are and who your family is. So that's my coaching program I have. And then I also have Reclaim Your Space group, which is like an online, I say membership, but it comes with a course and you get to work with me for a year. And we have coaching calls. We have group calls. It's such a well-rounded program. And what happens is that you're not left after doing a course. There's that support for a whole year because there are steps to this. It's a process and it takes, you know, it takes a while. So each step along the way, progression you make, I'm going to be there to guide you and help you to the next level. So there's those two programs. So how you can find them on my website, thespacereclaimers.ca. And I also have a podcast, the Inspiring Calm podcast, and that is on 9 different platforms as well, I think. So Apple and Anchor, and then Instagram at the Space Reclaimers. And awesome. I am on Facebook. Yeah.
Awesome. So I'll put all of those links into the show notes for everybody so that they can easily find you. Can you tell me just a little bit more about your podcast? Just, you know, from one podcaster to another, I love to support other podcasters.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. So Inspiring Calm, same thing. I interview a lot of amazing women too. So I have, what I'm doing with Inspiring Calm is I'm looking at the decluttering and organizing side, but I'm also looking at kind of a well-balanced whole unit, I guess you say, of us. So I want people to come on and I want them to learn about, let's keep life simple. Learn. I don't really like to use the word minimalism because I think that scares a lot of people, but just to be you and to learn to organize to your strengths. And so there's tips and advice on there as well. And I've been going since May, I think, actually. So it's a really great experience. And it's a real truthful, open podcast, just talking about how to create that calm and simplicity in your life.
Wonderful. I'm definitely going to have to subscribe to that. So fabulous. Awesome. Okay. So before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level, what would you suggest?
Wow. And you know, that's something I've really struggled with because it is really hard. And you know, for me, it was a real eye-opener to learn who I truly was. So that sounds a little in depth, but to really find out your authentic self and to really show that to people, don't hold that back because that's what people will love about you, and really take that step and just dive a little deeper and find out your authentic self. So I know that's not really like business related, but I feel like it is, you know what I mean? Because you are discovering you're going to be your honest, authentic, heart-centered entrepreneur. So that would be my best advice.
Yeah. And I mean, that ties into like attraction marketing, right? Is you attract the people that understand your message, that align with you, that feel like you have something in common. So, you know, when you can become your authentic self, I think that actually is a a great business strategy because you're going to find the people that actually want to spend time and work with you.
Yes. And that's, like I said, that's what happened to me, right? It took me a long time to admit I'm not a naturally organized person. And then I'm like, you know what? That doesn't matter because that's how I can help others. So yeah, it's a real eye opener. I believe that would make a really big shift in your business.
Yeah. And it's funny because that was one of the things that I picked out when you were doing your introduction. That was actually the thing about you that like stood out to me, right? So, you know, here's you thinking that it's something that you need to hide when really it's something that makes me go, hey, I want to hire Louise because she's just like me.
Yeah, which is great, right? And as soon as you can overstep that hurdle, it's, you know, the world is yours.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Louise, thank you so much for being on. I definitely did learn some stuff from you, so I really appreciate that. And I'm sure that our audience did as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me here, Jessica. I really enjoyed it. And I appreciate you taking the time.